Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
The firm of Harris and Moran.
Would you want that job, Danny, on the selection committee?
The playoff is here.
Will you ever quit?
No! We want some more! We want some more! We want some more!
With Patrick Harris.
You smile.
Yes, sir.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football. Football's fun.
And Danny Meringue.
Hey, you need a water break. Water is for cowards. Water makes you weak.
Dispensing sports justice. This is the firm of Harris and Meringue. First round week of the college football playoff is brought to you by video only on the Fan Sports Network, 105.1 FM, 1080 AM, The Fan.
Friends. Welcome into the firm of Harris and Meringue on this happy little Wednesday.
I need you to pick it up a little bit.
Patrick Harris with you. That's my guy, Danny Meringue, right over there. Jeffrey Rust on the ones and twos. Boys, I'm halfway home. Halfway home.
I'm going to love it when Dusty hits you with a text on Sunday. Yeah, man, that game was really good. We need you in on Monday. I need you to be there.
For those of you that do not know, I have all of next week off. You will get Daniel and Jeffrey on Monday and Tuesday. We got no shows on Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday.
And then I won't be here Monday or Tuesday.
You're not going to be here Monday or Tuesday?
Well, the next week.
Yeah. So I'm halfway home, terrified that I'm getting sick.
Yeah, you're paying this off. Don't worry, on the other end.
Yeah. You know, as my good buddy Bo always tells me, that's a problem for future Patrick. You know, current Patrick loves future Patrick. Future Patrick bails current Patrick out all the time. He is wonderful. He is good looking. Love his haircut. Got some new shoes. I love future Patrick. He's great. The problem is future Patrick hates me.
Yeah, no, he has to pay the debts that current Patrick cashes.
Absolutely despises me. And, you know, I don't blame him. It's one of those things, like, if you ever had a friend where you're like, God, I love that guy, but you can kind of tell that guy doesn't like you.
Mm.
You got anybody like that?
No. Not at all.
What?
Everybody loves me.
What? No, he says it's me. He's claiming it's me. You know me. I'm the happiest, nicest guy you ever gonna meet in your life. Not a care in the world. Just go ask future Patrick.
Yeah, there you go. That guy cares a lot.
I wonder if I actually could ever meet future Patrick.
Mm.
I wonder if he, would we sit down and have a conversation?
Mm.
Or do you think he'd be like, to be fair, I was you.
No, he'd want to throw you through a plate glass window.
Yeah, just I'm over your S.
Yeah. I think current me and future me are somewhat simpatico.
You guys have a working relationship?
Yeah. I don't like to screw over future me.
Well, I just want to let him do what he needs to do. I don't want to get in his way.
Well, you're like, you say that, but you're going full Shaun of the Dead and stacking up all the chairs in front of the door at the Winchester.
I just want him to be able to be prepared.
God, it's a great movie.
It is a good movie. I haven't seen that.
Didn't Tarantino have that in his top 10 movies or top 20 movies of all time?
I think he did.
That one popped out, and I was like, yeah, Shaun of the Dead's really good. I also love Hot Fuzz.
Although that was a very controversial Tarantino situation there.
Oh, with some of his picks?
Some of his candidness on some other actors.
Oh.
Look, I am not a Paul Dano guy at all, but I don't know. Look, I guess Tarantino's built the credit. I mean, I love his movies. I like his earlier stuff as opposed to his later stuff. And I actually know a lot of people that prefer his later stuff to his earlier stuff. But he had some real scathing things to say about Paul Dano in There Will Be Blood.
Mm.
Called him the worst actor in all of SAG, the Screen Actors Guild. And I was blown away by that. He said this movie, he said There Will Be Blood would be higher on my list if it was a two-man show. But right now, it's a one-and-a-half-man show because Daniel Day-Lewis counts as one-and-a-half, and Paul Dano gives you nothing.
Well, I'll say this. Daniel Day-Lewis does count as one-and-a-half.
He's probably the greatest male actor of all time.
Yeah, I mean, he's certainly... I mean, good. Totally blanking on the movie. What's the one he did with DiCaprio? Good Lord.
Gangs of New York.
Gangs of New York.
Bill the Butcher.
Bill the Butcher. Just an absolute banger.
His Last of the Mohicans is fantastic. I read that book as a kid. He's really good. He's Abraham Lincoln.
Little Abraham Lincoln.
He looks just like him, too.
Mm.
Apparently a member of the Wrestling Hall of Fame.
Abraham Lincoln?
Abraham Lincoln?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't know that. I was like, it can't be D-Day.
Yeah. Mm.
There was also this great movie called The Age of Innocence. It's like a Victorian period piece.
Mm.
The most boring movie you could ever discover life. But it has, I think, Michelle Pfeiffer's in it and Winona Ryder.
Mm.
I believe, if my memory serves me correct, he's fantastic in it.
I mean, he's in it.
I mean, boring is all boring. We owned that on Laserdisc when I was a kid.
Squirrel moment, speaking of Michelle Pfeiffer, apparently the other day was the 25th anniversary of the release of What Lies Beneath.
Great movie.
Mm.
That was one of those where it's good movie. It's not necessarily terribly rewatchable, kind of in the same vein as like The Sixth Sense. You know what I mean?
Sure, yeah.
Because once you get it, then it's like,
The secret's out.
The Sixth Sense was a great rewatch the first time you rewatched it.
Yeah. Mm.
That was a great rewatch. And now it's kind of like...
Yeah.
Like, I feel like every M. Night Shyamalan movie is... All it's Shyamalan. A one and done. Shyamalan Ding Dong.
Yeah, it's all of Shyamalan Ding Dong. All of his movies are like that. The Village, I really enjoyed. And then the end, I was like, oh, done now. Again, one rewatch, and then you're done.
I think Signs is one of those, though, that I can watch.
Well, that's because of Mel and Joaquin.
Yeah.
Like, that's what that is.
Signs is good.
Signs is
good. I saw Signs in the movie theater, and it scared the
hell out of me. Oh, that moment you see that alien walk across the television screen in Brazil?
Oh, it got me.
Oh, it makes you jump, and your b-hole puckers, and yeah.
The Joaquin Phoenix putting on the tinfoil hat.
Was really good.
Just to cut away and cut back in. I was like, all right, that was pretty good. I like that.
Swing Away.
Mm.
Swing Away. I watched another Joaquin Phoenix movie this past weekend, Eddington.
I haven't seen it.
Is it good? I saw it on the, it was an option for the plane
ride. That's right, it was.
Yes.
Huh?
Yeah. It's based in Eddington, New Mexico in May of 2020. So right, you know, we're 3 months deep into COVID and it's a small town in New Mexico and tensions are rising and whatnot. And Pedro Pascal is also in it. He's the mayor of the town. Joaquin Phoenix is the sheriff. Emma Stone is in it. She's Joaquin Phoenix's wife. And anyway, good movie. Hmm. The first probably half an hour or so is, I don't want to say cringe, but it's uncomfortable because it's a lot of that early COVID like discussion and like, why are you guys such idiots from either side?
You mentioned,
meanwhile on the plane, I watched Nobody Too.
Started that last night.
Bob Odenkirk. Yes. Yeah. It's what you expect.
We watched the number one the other night because we wanted to set it up for number two, and the wife hadn't seen it.
No, they're fun little standalones.
I was surprised how much the wife liked it. She really liked it. She was excited after the first one. She was excited to watch the second one.
Yeah, no, it's not Masterpiece Theater. But no. It's you want to turn your brain off and enjoy some time.
Cool.
And it's a tight. I think it's like a tight 90 minutes.
It knows what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of Pedro Pascal, it was my best friend's birthday on the 5th.
Pedro Pascal's your best friend?
Nope. I wish, because then maybe I could see Mandalorian and Grogu early, because I'm really excited to watch that movie.
Mm. Wait, they're making a movie out of it?
Yeah, there's not a season 3 of Mandalorian, or a season 4 of Mandalorian. It's a movie.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. But his birthday was on the 5th, but he's in Mexico. He doesn't come back till next week, and he doesn't remember that I do this show, because he calls me all the time during it, so I know he's not listening. But I discovered what I'm going to get him for his birthday.
Mm.
I got a little book at Barnes & Noble yesterday that's called Happy Little Friends.
Mm.
And it's Bob Ross paintings with like fill-in-the-blank statements.
Mm-hmm.
Like, your friendship means to me the same as fill-in-the-blank.
Gotcha.
And I'm going to make it comical. Like, poke a lot of fun at us as idiots. And I'm going to get him a giant frame poster of the sexiest looking Pedro Pascal I can find.
Okay.
I was very excited about that gift. There you go. I think he's going to love it.
Or what you do is you take that famous that meme from the what's the movie called with Nick Cage and Pedro Pascal where it's Nick Cage in real life or playing himself.
Oh God!
But like that meme from the convertible car.
Yeah, the crazy eyes.
Yeah. So you take your buddy's face and you put it over Nick Cage's, and then you have Pedro Pascal in there with the big smile.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not a bad idea.
Totally random adjacent. I made
weird for this segment.
Yeah, I know. I made ramen.
So out of pocket.
I made ramen last night and I hadn't made it in like 30 years. Mm-hmm. Why do we not make it more? Like, why is that not a more like, I understand.
You have no idea how much ramen we go through in our house.
I'm not talking about like instant ramen.
Well, I am.
I know, but that's what I mean.
Like, I make plenty of instant ramen.
No. Cause it's not that hard to make really good ramen.
Nah.
Like bone broth, some aromatics, some meat, some ramen noodles, and then like all the accoutrements you want to put in it. And it like it's not that hard, but boy, does it come out good.
We literally have a little microwave dish that you put it in there. You get your you know, top ramen packet. Yeah. You put it in there. You fill up the water to the line. You microwave it for 3.5 minutes. You put in your mix and you're done. It's fantastic.
Yeah, but I'm talking like
I have a 9-year-old.
Well, look, here's the thing though.
And I also have the palate of a 9-year-old.
I'm just, here's how you can do it, though, and still keep it really easy.
Yeah.
I had never done this before. The soft-boiled egg and then letting it soak.
Mm-hmm.
I did a bunch of soft-boiled eggs, pulled them out, got them in the ice bath, peeled them, and then I took the old Nutribullet container and filled it up with a little bit of soy sauce and sriracha, like a little marinade, as it were.
Marinade.
Yeah, put them eggs in there, let them sit for like 2 hours, because I did the prep before I took it over for dinner, and cut those things in half, toss them in the ramen with the noodles and the steak and the green onions and all of the things. Oh my God, dude. It was just incredible. I was like, why is this, like, I don't know, maybe it's because I grew up with Mexican food just being like the just dominating food that I make. But there's a lot of like Asian food that's really simple to make and mm-hmm. really good. And like, I'm talking from scratch.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, to make true ramen or true pho, stuff like that, your bone broth needs to cook for 24 hours. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what makes it a little challenging. You know where I sit on it. Ramen's not my jam. I'm more of a pho guy.
It's too fatty.
It's too fatty. I've heard that promo a lot, Jeff.
Thank you for that. Appreciate
a lot.
You. Appreciate
wink, wink,
you.
Wink.
I know they're getting a little stale.
but I love making Asian food. I mean, I've got a whole like spice rack, sauce rack of everything of Asian. I've got some nice Asian cookbooks. I'm really into it.
I'm gonna do the homemade sushi next.
I'd eat rice every day. I've been asking for a sushi set for Christmas for years. I need the bamboo rollers, a nice knife. I'll take care of the rice. And I will worry about where I find the fish. But I've been asking for it for years, and nobody's ever got it for me.
Dude.
I put it on my Secret Santa list that I do with my siblings. So hopefully you're listening, and I'm assuming you're not.
Mm.
That I but hope that, that comes through.
I hit up the H Mart. I hadn't been in there.
Dude, H Mart is a jam,
bro. I did not realize that is where they're hiding all of the good meat at good prices.
Well, or what's the other one? I know there's one in Tigard that used to be in Albertsons, 99 Ranch also.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That just opened, didn't it? I think that opened within the last year.
At that location, no, it's been there for several years.
But yeah, I haven't been in that H Mart forever.
But it was a national chain.
It's the one in Tigard, off 99. Right next to Bi-Mart, and I popped in there, was grabbing some stuff to make all of this, and I was like, oh, let's see what they have for meat. Number one, they have like the freshest fresh of all of the seafood. They had king crabs, the size of this table back there. I was like, good God, what is this thing?
The size of the tanks they have in this store, like the 99 Ranch, they're enormous.
Just crazy, but I got to the red meat section, and they had like A5 Wagyu for like $13 a pound. And
sweet.
I was like, wait, what? And I'm just going through it. Like, there's skirt steak. There was bone-in ribeyes. Like, everything was a third or a quarter of the price of what it is that you get at grocery chains. And I was just like, why? Why is this so much cheaper? And what? And it looked better. Looked better than the meat that we have at our grocery stores.
Did I hear that Wagyu is an overused term and most stuff is not actually Wagyu?
Well, kind of like how most of the wasabi that we get here isn't actually
not wasabi.
No. But I'll tell you what.
It's like 1%.
But I'll tell you what. It's mostly horseradish. Don't try and use horseradish for sushi.
No.
It is not the same.
Not the same.
Not the same.
No.
So there must be some weird, like, preservative filler or some garbage in it to make it actually kind of taste like wasabi.
Have you ever had real wasabi?
No, I have not.
It's a banger. I had it when I was in Japan. And you do, when you have the real stuff, you're like, oh, yeah. The texture's different.
Kyoto is high on my list of places I would like to travel to.
It's, yeah, I mean, all of Japan is super dope.
Yeah. Oakland, Oakland, we got a show for you today on this Wednesday. It's a Wednesday, so we have Tyson Alger will be on at 10:30 like he always is for two seggies as we'll start breaking down Oregon Ducks as they take on the James Madison Dukes. So that's our first hour here with you. We'll get to a little NFL breaking news from this morning. Bowl season has started. We have Danny Cannell join us, talk a little college football playoff and Ducks, etc. He'll come on at 11:30. And then we'll get into some NBA chatter in the noon hour, some Blazer talk, some Cup talk, stuff like that as the Blazers get ready to get back in action. When we come back here on Portland Sports Leader, how to prep for a game. Do you prep differently because of the opponent, or do you try and keep things the same? We'll do that next. 105.1 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
.10:20 here, Portland Sports Leader. Don't you forget it, baby. We are live from the shadows of the historic Fremont Bridge. 503-864-6326 is the Fan text line. She'll let you interact with us throughout the entire day. Also over on the YouTubes, youtube.com/1051. The Fan. The YouTubers are the text lines mad at you.
I know. I just say.
I didn't say it because I'm trying to protect the secret.
I know, man. There's a particular place. If you miss it in the first segment, go back.
Don't go back and listen to it.
But yeah, there's multiple people that are frustrated.
Oh, what are we talking about? The H Mart?
Wow.
Rusty.
Wow.
Rusty. Slap it to a Slim Jim.
Unbelievable. Wow. But yeah, no, I'm telling you, man, that I will say I almost got killed driving in there by three different people driving in that parking lot. So. There's that. So
that parking lot is weird. Well, it's like it's an old Zupans.
Yeah.
On Belmont. It's an old Zupans. And that parking lot when it was a Zupans sucked, and it sucks now that it's an H Mart. It's really wild, too, because a lot of Asian grocery stores are very basic. Like, there's not a lot of fancy decor. There's not a lot, like...
It's just stuff.
It's just stuff. And it's usually, like, very affordable, because I got a little one on Killingsworth.
Except for the rice cookers.
Yeah.
I got a little one on Killingsworth in North Portland, kind of on my way home, that I'll stop by sometimes because H Mart's out of my way. And it's the same situation to where like a Zupans is this like bougie upper
hoity-toity
grocery store. And then you walk into H Mart and they're like, what? You need some rice vinegar? It's right over there.
Yeah. There's an aisle there that I swear it has every form of instant noodle, ramen, whatever, just in bulk. For as far as the eye can see. That's the other thing I realized about that place. Like, a lot of the restaurants buy their stuff there. Like, they have bulk for everything. And not just, like, the home, like, Costco bulk, but, like, restaurant bulk. And I was like, oh. Like, if you're something, like, if you cook something fairly regularly, you can get down on it like that. I like that.
I like it, too, especially because you can find things that nobody else knows about.
Mm.
And some of those instant ramen stuff that you find there that you can't find anywhere else are
bangers.
1,000 times better than anything else. Well, Ducks and Dukes are on the Fan this Saturday. Pre-game coverage starts at noon with Ducks Game Day brought to you by Coors Light and wraps up with the Dick Hanna Dealership's post-game scoreboard following the game. It's a big one this weekend as the James Madison Dukes are in town to take on your Oregon Ducks, Danny Morang. And I'm fascinated from a, like, X's and O's standpoints of behind the scenes. You know, and I think it's really easy to say, well, you know, Dan Lanning, he takes every opponent seriously. He's looking at weaknesses. He's looking at their strengths, blah, blah, blah. But I'm curious because we sit here on the fan. It's not just us. It's kind of everybody else. And I understand why. So I'm not blasting anybody for it. And I'll be interested to hear what Tyson Alger has to say about it as well, of kind of overlooking this game. So if you're Dan Lanning, you are not overlooking this game. But how do you get, you know, how do you get a Thienemann or a Dante, you know, or a Poncho, you know? Obviously, if you got guys that are dealing with injuries, you know, they've got something to focus on to get better. If DeCorian Moore can go, obviously, you know what he's going to think about. But, like, what is Amari Washington thinking about? You know, how do you get these guys up for this game? Is it just based on situation? Based on what you could have? Because there has to be that lingering thought. These kids are 20, 21 years old, 19 years old. I know when I was in that world, I was not taking a whole lot of things seriously.
No, and I think that's the thing you have to guard against. And Lanning and his staff, I'm sure, have gone about that, of putting things in place to guard against that, to keep focus, keep the main thing the main thing. And I'm sure he's trying to... He's done really good with the mind games and the prep and all those kind of things. We always get the Ducks versus them, or you know, what comes out of that. And you know, against USC, it was Matt Leinart ain't walking through that door.
Yeah, we're wearing black because we're going to a Trojan funeral.
I was like, all right, guy.
I mean, it's a great line. I don't know if he writes them, but whoever writes his lines, they're great. I know it drives you nuts because it's SC.
Oh no, I just went. Yeah. Okay.
As far as corny coach stuff can go, Lanning is top tier.
Oh no, he in that vein, yes, he absolutely kills it. But no, that's the thing. It's like I think he does strike the right notes in those kind of situations. How many times this season did they have to do this? The first four games of the year.
Yeah.
So like, if you want to call up, and again, JMU's not that team. You know what
no,
I mean?
No. I'll take JMU to beat OK State by like 15,
yeah,
20.
Yeah, no, like, that's what I mean. Like they're a good team.
My team can beat OK State.
Your team can't beat JMU.
Or Oregon State twice. I shouldn't have said anything. Yeah. I should not have said that.
Sorry.
It's all right.
Sorry.
Yeah, it'll be fascinating to see. I want to know what the intensity level is at first, because I think the way, maybe the best way to sell this to your players is go out there, whoop ass early. You know, like, get this thing over with early and get your ass to the bench and start partying with the fans in the stands on a Saturday night in Autzen. That's probably the way I would approach it if we're just, like, truth syruping, because I know that everybody, no, we take all opponents seriously, and it's four quarters, and we're, you know, everybody's 0-0, and we're just trying to win 1-0, blah, blah, blah. I know you can get behind that, but I think if I actually had to, like, dox myself and gaslight myself, it would be, let's get in there, let's get this job done, let's get the hell out of here and not hurt, and we're on to Miami.
We don't need any extra motivation to come in and want to whoop your ass.
Exactly.
What I want to see...
Mama didn't raise no bitch.
On the flip side, I hope GMU makes them pucker a little bit in the first half.
I hope so too, dude.
Oregon can pull away and do all those things, but I kind of, honestly, I think it would be good for Oregon. I don't think you want to just go in there and mop and then... maybe get a little too high on your own supply with the difference between JMU and Texas Tech.
Totally. Now, JMU's got a pretty good defense. Mm-hmm. I don't know if their defense is the level of Texas Tech, but that's going to probably be what I'm most focused on, is I want to see Dante. I want to see if they allow him to open up that offense. Because I'll tell you what, if Noah Whittington and Jordan Davison get going early, it's going to be ugly, and it's not going to be, honestly, from like an entertainment perspective, it won't be that entertaining of a game, because those guys will just pound it down your throat. They'll conserve Dante, make sure he doesn't get hit, and they'll just pound the rock.
You know, it's interesting, if the Ducks do win this game, they will go on to play Texas Tech, and they will have played, after playing Texas Tech, the three best rush defenses in the country. Tech is currently the number one rush defense, James Madison number two, Indiana number three.
Wow. That's fascinating. That's why that Texas Tech matchup is so juicy.
It is. And if you look at the points per game, I believe Ohio State's still number one. Yeah, Ohio State's number one. Texas Tech, or excuse me, Indiana number two. Texas Tech three. James Madison is what? 4, 6, 8, 10. So the points per game, Oregon would have played the 2, 3, 9, and 10 defenses, with Iowa at 9 and James Madison at 10.
Well, I do hate to say this, but I'm going to say it. It's similar to North Texas being the number one offense in college football.
That's who you
played.
Yeah.
You held my Cougs to 20 points. Good for you. Like that's where I get a little wishy-washy on that.
And their one loss in the season is against Louisville, which was 28-14. Otherwise, you know, they beat Texas State and Old Dominion and Marshall and App State and Washington. Oh.
Yeah.
Washington,
but like
State.
Without the schedule in front of you, like how many Sun Belt teams can I name? I think it's James Madison and Appalachian State. I think that's all I got.
And they beat App State 58-10.
Who blew out Oregon State.
Mm-hmm.
Dang, dude, my team sucks.
So, yeah, the transitive property is not doing you any favors with JMU.
No, it's not. No, it's not. And let's get Tyson Alger in here, and let's talk to him about the challenges of getting ready for this game and taking on a James Madison team, what James Madison does that presents troubles, and what he expects to see. I'm going to ask him a lot about Dante Moore and maybe a little Will Stein, Tosh Lupoy stuff as well. So we'll get to Tyson next, but first we'll toss it to Rusty with sports.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
All right, it's a Wednesday. That means our good buddy Tyson Alger, the I-5 Corridor Lookout Eugene Springfield, joins us to preview the Ducks and the Dukes this weekend. A reminder, you can catch all coverage right here on the Fan Sports Network, home of the Ducks. Tyson, hello. How are you? Are you ready for the holiday?
Hey, I definitely am, although I did just start to look at some of the flight prices to Miami, like not to get ahead of ourselves or anything. And
we would never do that. Definitely not here at the Fan. Seven of us have not decided that this game doesn't matter. No.
Yeah, but it's kind of that cart before the horse, but also, like, if you don't order the cart before the horse, you're going to be paying double for it. And, excited for the holiday, a little bit stressed out about the next couple weeks.
Well, let's start right there. I've been making the joke the last few days that whether it's, you know, Dirt and Sprague in the morning, us here, or Luke on the Happy Hour show, or the Primetime Boys, that we've kind of overlooked this game. And I think we all understand why, and I don't want to try to backtrack on any of that. But from an Oregon Duck perspective, and we know Lanning's going to say the things that he needs to say, but I'm more curious about the players. What do the players need to do to take this game as seriously as they need to?
I don't think it's terribly hard for them to do that. Like, I think, you know, especially with a couple weeks off here and wanting to get back on the field and kind of hit people. I think it'll be pretty easy for them to kind of like refocus, and the fact that it's a home game, like I think this would be tougher if you were playing this 12 seed like on a neutral at a neutral site where you didn't kind of have the juice and kind of like the rhythm of a home game. You know, that's the thing about this thing is, while the Ducks say they are going to try to add a few extra kind of wrinkles for the playoff atmosphere, like they're treating this thing like a home game. It's going to be the same music. It's going to be a lot of the same presentation, and they're going to be expecting kind of like the same kind of advantage that you get for playing in Austin Stadium. So I do think it's easy to kind of look ahead for us because, you know, we're the ones that are doing the whole, you know, how good was this season? Like, you know, what are the expectations? What's this mean for legacy? Although, like, did this team make it further than last year? Like, that's all stuff we're concerned about. But I think this roster is veteran enough, and a lot of them experienced what happened last year with Ohio State. I think they just kind of know that the process of winning four games is you got to start with one. So I think they'll be okay for that.
Tyson, I was talking to Dirt about this, and just kind of get his, you know, thoughts on, you know, being a Duck and being a, you know, Duck through and through, what it means to have this game and how excited he was or wasn't for this game. And the way he phrased it was like, heck yeah, man, I'm super excited because it's a home playoff game where it's probably going to be a blowout and it's going to be a party for 4 hours with 60,000 of my closest friends. Is that kind of the dynamic that you're feeling out of this? Is there any worry at all? Like, could anything can happen. We all know that. But, like, is there anything out there that you feel like that David versus Goliath that, you know, the one in a million chance can land?
Man, it's tough. I mean, you know, we can see what, like, maybe if the weather decides to play a factor on Saturday too, and if we get some more of this wind and rain and it turns into like one of those hold on to the football, whoever gets rid of the ball the least wins sort of things. But I think what benefits this Oregon team is just like the way the variety of styles in which they've been able to win football games this year. You know, they've been able to play air it out games like USC. They've been able to play in the slog and in the mud like Iowa and Wisconsin. And so, you know, this JMU team, like they're talented. They have a really, really good quarterback who gets a lot of attention for how he runs the ball, but like he can be explosive too with the way he throws it. And so like, I do think that, you know, if you do make some costly mistakes and you don't correct them quickly, like this is a talented football team, but also it's one that I don't think they can do it, guys. I hate getting ahead of ourselves here, but I think Oregon's played too many tough games this season, and they've played too many games where like they've had to be in it and they've had to be focused and they've had to make plays that, you know, even if James Madison gets out to a decent start here, like I do think that Oregon's just tested enough to not really be scared in this one.
He's Tyson Alger, joins us every single Wednesday. He is the home of the I-5 corridor. Look out, Eugene Springfield. And you're referencing Barnett the third, the quarterback there at JMU. He had some comments over the week kind of talking about how when he grew up, which I know this is about to make us all feel super old, when he grew up, you know, Oregon Ducks were the place that they all wished that they could play. The Mariota Heisman, the facilities, the jerseys, et cetera, et cetera. Is the game plan from maybe a football standpoint, because we know the crowd will be there, is the game plan from a football standpoint to get ahead of them early and get their brains in a zone of, boy, we don't belong here?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, like it's kind of been a fun run up to this game. It seems like both fan bases have been pretty cordial and fun with each other, and you have seen a lot of quotes from like JMU players that are not only like respectful, but almost kind of like in awe of what Oregon is. And I think that's going to be fun for them. And when they come out onto the field and they see all the television cameras, it's going to be a neat experience. But it's not very fun playing at Autzen when you're down like 14-0 and the crowd's getting into it and your offense is becoming one-dimensional. And so I think, yeah, that is the best game plan, is be welcoming, let these kids have some fun as they come in during pregame introductions, and then just kind of put it to them. Because I think that's the one thing when you're playing a lower caliber team, is you just don't want to give them hope and start. And the longer that they can stay in it, the longer that they think they can win. And I think Oregon is just going to be trying to cut that out from the start.
Tyson, probably the biggest, I guess, on-field story is the return of the wide receiver core with DeCorian Moore, Gary Bryant Jr., and Evan Stewart. How much do you expect them to actually play? Or is this a, hey, let's get them out there, let's get them loose? Do you think they're going to factor into the game plan as far as, you know, opening scripts or anything along those lines? Or is this just a, let's start gearing them up for Texas Tech?
I think this might be more of a gearing up. I mean, it was funny, you know, they have that open practice and they have those three guys kind of practicing next to each other, and all the Oregon accounts are quick to tweet out pictures. And, you know, if anything, I think it just gives James Madison and other teams down the road more things to prepare for. Now, you know, maybe they are completely fully healthy and it's been a awesome last 3 weeks of rest and recovery, but I do think that these are guys that are going to be way more important to be healthy down the road against, you know, the Texas Techs, Indiana's, Ohio State's, the world. That being said, if they are good enough to be on the field and go, I wouldn't be surprised to see them at least shake off a little bit of rust. But like, I don't think this is going to be something where it's just like, hey, DeCorian Moore is back, let's force feed him 15 times in this game.
He's Tyson Alger, the I-5 corridor. Look out, Eugene Springfield. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, maybe a little look ahead. I'll ask you the question about, are we testing things for Texas Tech, or are we just handling business once and for all? We'll do that next. Tyson Alger, our guest here, as it always is on a Wednesday, 105.1 The Fan. But I can't beat all the All right, he's our duck guy. Tyson Alger joins us every Wednesday. You can check out his work on the I-5 corridor. Look out, Eugene, at Springfield. And I'm getting kind of sad, Tyson, because we're getting near the end of the season, no matter how it turns out. I'm just going to miss you. I'm going to miss you.
Yeah, you know, it's been a fun professional relationship.
Yes, I will miss you too. let's get into this game. I'm curious how you attack this from the coaching standpoint, because I think we're all in the idea of punch them in the mouth, get this thing over with, get players out, get them rested. Is this an opportunity which we were kind of curious about before the Penn State game, before the Indiana game, before the Iowa game? Oregon had some teams of lesser quality that they were able to potentially check on some things, potentially keep things secret. What's the vibe you get on whether it's play calling on the offensive side or just motivation side leading up to a most likely matchup with Texas Tech?
Yeah, you know, I don't think they're going to mess around early. I think that this is one of those games where it's like, it's definitely a mismatch. We've seen the talent gap between these teams. We've seen James Madison's record against top 25 opponents, or it's 123rd ranked strength of schedule, or the fact that I think they have three guys on their entire roster who are four stars or better, and the Ducks have like 58. So a little bit of a difference there. But it's also the playoffs, and if you lose this game, that would be one of the most embarrassing losses in Oregon program history. So I don't think that they're coming into this game being like, you know what, let's hide everything and you know, worry about Texas Tech. Like, I think they're going to come in and try to get their points early. That being said, the one thing that has been a pretty constant with this Oregon team this year, especially in that earlier part of the season, is when they have played teams that they are where they have that mismatch, where they are supposed to win, like, they've cleaned up pretty well. I know it feels like it was a long time ago, but that month of September, they were scoring 40, 50, 60 points every other week. So I think this is one where you can get your points in early, and then you can kind of take the foot off the gas and maybe kind of get rotations in of guys that you think are going to need to shake off some of that rust for Texas Tech, or maybe you're not going to have to use your full entire playbook for the second half, or maybe you can even get Dante Moore out of that game, and so that way he has zero chance of going into Miami banged up. But yeah, I mean, it's such a kind of a unique situation for the Ducks in this bracket, because if you look across the rest of the playoff, like, every other game is a pretty good matchup. This is the only one that's, what is it, like a 21-point spread mm-hmm. coming into this thing. It's been weeks, I feel like, or months, I feel like, since Oregon's had a spread that big, and so it's playoffs. But yeah, I mean, I don't think Oregon needs to play their A-plus game in this one to get a victory out of it.
Dice, I'm going to do the thing where we're actually looking past this, and I'm interested in your thoughts on this. The idea of Tosh LaPoy and Will Stein and their ability to prepare for not just this game, but going into Texas Tech, because right now there's a quiet period. You know, it's the
right
tampering window, if as it were, but once they win this game and you get into the next part of this, you're looking at, you know, both Cal and Kentucky for LaPoy and Stein respectively. They've got teams to build and they've got transfer portals to work around, and there's going to be guys coming, there's going to be guys going, and all those things. They can sit there, and Dan Lanning can sit there and say they're locked in, they're focused, they want to be here. But we all know the reality is they have other jobs that they have to worry about, and that's going to take up more of their time and more of their attention when they're taking on a much more difficult opponent in Texas Tech. How much of that is going to be Lanning transitioning to, whether it's guys on staff or, you know, leaning on consultants or whatever else it is, as they kind of prepare going into that next game, as those guys start preparing for their next careers?
Yeah, you know, that's one of the things that Lanning has kind of talked about in the last couple of weeks, is just how, like, yes, obviously Will Stein and Tosh LaPoy are incredibly important figures on this team, but he's also been very he's given a lot of credit to the entire staff in terms of, like, how they go about building their offensive and defensive game plans. And it's very, a lot of hands go into making something. So it's not just like you're taking those two guys out and then everybody else around has no idea how to go about doing this thing, or it's not familiar to them. That being said, we were talking to Tosh yesterday, and like, I can't get over, like, just how busy, like, these guys legitimately are. Cause, like, Tosh kind of, like, took the position of, yeah, like over my dead body, were they going to drag me out of here and not let me coach during the playoffs, kind of taking like the anti-Kiffin position. And like, you respect that. And it's a great soundbite. And for somebody like Tosh, who's a notoriously hard worker, like, you believe it too. But at the same time, if they're game planning for JMU 12 hours a day, and then you're getting on the phone, or, you know, getting on the phone afterwards to start like assembling your staff in Berkeley, or in Will's case over in Kentucky, like, those are just really, really long days. And if you're playing teams that if you're going up against teams that aren't facing that, where it's just all your focus is in on one thing, like, yeah, like, I think it's hard. And I think it's one of those things where this is why they have to be professional compartmentalizers. And luckily, they do have a head coach in Dan Lanning, who went through this process 4 years ago when he was still the DC at Alabama, or at Georgia, when he was hired at Oregon. And the one thing Dan had was the benefit of they were 3 hours ahead, so they could kind of finish up what they were doing in Georgia and then still have some daylight in Eugene to work on things. But yeah, like, I don't think Texas Tech is sitting there going like, oh man, this is great. Like, Oregon's going to get beat up by JMU and we're going to have a hobbled Ducks. But I think you might have a slightly distracted Ducks, even if they're doing their best to avoid that.
It's Tyson Alger, the I-5 corridor. Look out, Eugene, Springfield. And Tyson, we'll kind of get you out on this. The reports are, as he announced, that Bear Alexander will return next year. You know, I think there's guys we assume, like Amari Washington, will be gone. Reading between the tea leaves with Bear coming back, is that more of a situation to plant himself in a better draft position? Or can I read the tea leaves and think Dante Moore's coming back? Where are you sitting on the quarterback at Oregon, as nobody knows anything and it's all speculation?
Yeah, it's kind of been one of those interesting ones this year, because if you would have asked after the Penn State game, it seemed like he was going to be the number one draft pick, and then you have a couple bad games or injuries, and it's Dante's leaning towards staying at Oregon, and then it seems like the last couple of weeks it's been swinging back the other way. I don't know how much of Dante's situation is affected by Bears, but also, like, if I'm deciding to come back for another year, having the confirmation that I'm having a top-level quarterback coming back, you know, that probably doesn't hurt my decision. But I think overall, this was a huge year for Bear. He had a lot of hype in his career and not a whole lot of production, and this was kind of like the first real kind of proof of concept that this is a really good player. But I do think that he still could really benefit from another year, and I think that's what he and his people saw too. And also, this is college football. He's a big part of a really good Oregon roster, and I'm sure he probably made out decently financially for making that decision as well. So, don't know about Dante. Getting Bear back is huge, because he's been really good, especially the second half of the season.
What are you writing this week? The I-5 corridor, lookout, Eugene, Springfield. Go ahead, let us know.
Dude, I had a fun one reporting on Friday. I spent like a whole day at MacArthur Court as they were playing. It was the return of the MAC high school basketball series.
Ooh.
So, I'm kind of going poetic and featury with it, boys. So we're setting scenes. We're painting a picture, and that should be coming out tomorrow.
The poinsettias of Augusta is basically what you're doing, right?
Yeah, exactly.
All right,
I'm going Rinaldi on this thing.
I love it. He's Tyson Alger. Check out his work. The I-5 corridor. Look out, Eugene, Springfield. Enjoy the game this weekend, amigo, and hopefully, no matter what. No. We'll wish you a Merry Christmas. We'll flip around maybe New Year's Eve with you. Does that sound good?
Dude, I could imagine nothing less more fun than spending New Year's Eve with you, boys.
Yeah, that's my guy right there. He's Tyson Alger. Thanks, buddy. Enjoy the game this weekend.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Tyson.
Every single Wednesday, you can find him right here with us at 10:30 and 10:45. Nice enough to grace us with his presence as the Ducks look forward to James Madison. Again, you can hear all the coverage right here on the Fan Sports Network as kick is at 4:30. When we
see that, though,
hmm.
The way he talked about this and the way everybody's talking about this, yesterday I said if JMU were to pull this off, it would be a bigger upset than Boise State of Oklahoma. That's why.
Well, upset-wise, yes, it will be. But I don't. I still think we thought Boise State could win that game.
To an
They're
extent.
In a Fiesta Bowl.
Yeah.
And that's different when you're choosing it based on the numbers than James Madison being the 20th-ranked team because the ACC is hot garbage. But I see your point. We come back. Hour number deuce. There's some breaking news in the NFL that we'll get to. And we'll have Danny Cannell on at 11:30. So stick with us. Having a great time. Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.